You're listening to a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, dedicated to bringing podcasters together for the greater good of gaming. It's sort of like Voltron, but with better lip syncing. Find out more at dicetowernetwork.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 199.
I cannot believe we're at 199. We are so close to 200. That's like next week.
Yeah.
That's how we do this.
That's actually kind of scary.
That's how the math works, I guess. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Family Gamers Podcast. I am your host, Andrew, and I am joined by my lovely and wonderful wife, Anitra.
That's me.
And we are, in fact, having an odd-numbered show. I am so excited. I've been looking forward to recording all week long. Because this week we have on the podcast Mick and Starla from Our Family Plays Games.
Yay! Yep.
All right. Awesome. Well, we are super excited to have you guys on. I love watching your videos. I don't think I've watched a single one of your videos and not laughed. They are great. I was talking to somebody this morning. I was like, they're great. Starla is dropping like truth bombs about board games, and Mick is like, yeah, that's right.
100%. I'm the hype man.
You are the hype man. It's awesome. So I'm really loving your channel, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, we need to talk about the sponsor of the show.
Wait a minute. You don't have a fact about 199?
You know what's awesome is our fact about 199 is mixed in with our sponsorship this week, which is amazing.
What?
Get a load of this. Okay. So, like I said, I was looking for a fact about 199, and I reached out to Donnie at First Move Financial.
Okay.
Did you know that the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act of 2017 introduced a new code section? What do you think it is?
199A,
which allows small business owners and contract employees to deduct 20% of their qualified business income. Very interesting.
Small business owner.
That's us. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
This is good if you can get it because it's separate from other itemized below the line deductions, and it can be taken even if you take the standard deduction.
Cool.
Assuming you have a small business or you're a contractor. The rules are very complex unless your taxable income is less than the first tier limits. It was added because corporations got a big tax break because 20% of a lot is
a lot.
With the TCJA and without a break, then other business structures would have been disincentivized. Now, that's a lot of jargon. It's a lot of words and stuff. And
I'm not sure
are like,
I understood
what?
All of that.
Forget this. If you want to talk about how to claim the 199A QBI deduction, talk to your CPA. But if somebody at like dinner is like whispering that they've got some fancy tax code jargon and you want to learn more about that, you might want to talk to somebody who's a little bit more knowledgeable. If you want to get that clarity, head over to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to schedule a time to talk to them today.
Thanks again to First Move Financial for sponsoring the Family Gamers Podcast.
And clearing up that jargon mess. All right. So, again, welcome to the show, you guys. We're super excited to have you guys on. I hope that we laugh while we record this as much as I laugh when I watch your guys' stuff. It's great.
We hope so, too.
I don't know if that's possible, man.
All right. Do you have Grant behind the camera? Or is he
no,
knows out
this
not
one. This time.
Grant is doing his own thing.
All right. Well, mad props to Grant for getting involved because we've been trying to get our kids involved in actual production for a long time. And there's a reason why we don't have a video show.
Well, look, Grant has no choice.
Yeah.
He has no choice.
Yeah, we don't give him options.
None. No choice.
Choice. He can either be in front of the camera or behind the camera.
And so he chose behind, so that's
all right.
Fine.
Well, you tell him that the Family Gamer said he's doing a great job editing those videos.
We will.
All right, so let's talk about what we've been playing. So I saw on Facebook that you guys were playing Suburbia today.
Yes.
We usually just throw something out because Starla would say, you know, I'm sitting there in my chair trying to be innocent, looking at TV. And Starla would turn to me and said, I want to kick some butt today. And see, it's a trap. And she said, I want to kick some butt today. And I'm like, okay. And she said, what you going to put out? I said, well, we were going to play Thieves. And I said, nah, I don't want to play Thieves. I said, I want to play what she loves. I'm saying, let's play Suburbia. She said, oh, you're getting froggy. You want to jump, huh? I said, yeah, I want to jump. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
So we put down
only
Suburbia.
Half of this is true.
No.
Yeah. I can tell from the look on Starla's face.
And even though I lost to Suburbia, as normally happens, at least I fought hard. I fought hard.
Only half of that's true. First of all, the story went left when he said he was sitting there looking innocent.
I was
that
innocent.
That was the first part.
I was innocent.
And so
I was innocent.
So he decides to pick a game that he knows is my favorite.
Mm.
So, but the last time we played, though, you did win.
I did win.
And that was really strange.
I fought hard.
Yeah,
I fought hard.
Strange.
Yeah.
So now,
What?
Everything's right now because I won. So now we can go to another game.
Yeah, yeah. So we play things that we love throw down because we played Everdale. We love Everdale. We just got that one.
I only love it now.
You only love it now because you start beating me at it.
Yeah, he won 3 games and I didn't like it because I thought the game was evil.
Yeah, because you had to keep on playing it until you
win. Yeah, but now that I have won, we're good.
It's all good.
We're good now.
Yeah. And then Quacks.
Are you going to retire now? Because you won? Are you going to retire from playing Everdell?
No. Now that I've won, then I know that I can continue to win. But I was a little afraid because he won 3 games in a row and it kind of shook me.
Yeah.
Did it get to his head? Was it hard for him to get out the door?
I was trying to win that 4th game. I said, I got to win. I started sweating and stuff. I said, I got to win because I got to prove that I can beat Starla. I got to prove it. And then I lost. So, you know.
Oh, man. Ooh. Wow. All right. Well, I have been playing an absolute ton of Unmatched. We got Coblin Fog in over the weekend, the latest 4-character set from Unmatched. Have you guys played Unmatched?
No, we have not. Well, see, that's the other thing. I have to deal with this lady next to me, this beautiful, beautiful black queen of mine. And I have to get games that have to really be with her. Mm. She hates combat. Mm. You know, she hates co-op.
Okay.
She hates any kind of area control unless it's cute looking. It has to be cute. It has to be cute.
That's not true, because I do like one area control.
It has to be cute. So, and that's the one thing. It has to be cute. So if it's anything with combat, because like, you know, I'll just say, hey, you know, here's Scythe. I love Scythe. I said, Scythe, here's Scythe, Starla. You want to play Scythe? No.
No.
She said, first of all, it looks ugly.
It's very unattractive.
It looks ugly.
I kind of agree with you on that one, Starla.
It looks ugly. And I said, well, she said, what do you do? I said, well, you have to move around and you have to capture and you do a little fight. No, don't want it. So there we go. No more. You know.
Have you considered My Little Scythe? The My Little Pony version?
No, that's for kids. That's for kids.
It's for families.
No way, man. It's super cute that you have pie fights instead of combat.
I'm not throwing pies around. Nope. I'm not going to do that to my Scythe.
There's just some games I just don't want to play, and I let him have those games.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't have to play everything in our collection.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. Because I have Star Trek Ascendancy. Star Trek Ascendancy has been sitting on my shelf for 4 years. And I thought, you know, Starla's a Star Trek fan. And I said, okay, I got on this one. I got it. This is a kind of civilization, you know, exploration game. I said, I got it. And she said, she said, what's that? I said, Star Trek. She said, what you do? I said, you go around, you find planets, and, you know, you have all the Star Trek folk in it. And what else you do? I said, well, it's a little bit of combat. No, I got jeez. You know.
I just don't really get into fighting.
Well, Unmatched is 100% combat. Unmatched is all combat.
Her combat is economic combat. She wants to destroy you economically.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Okay.
That's economically.
Fine. Yes.
Right. Well,
she will take all your money away.
Well, I think we talked about Coblin Fog last week on the show, and we played it with our 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. And he.
You played it a bunch with him.
Well, I had only played it once, and he lost to me. But then I told him to tell Anitra how he liked it, how much he liked it or not, and he said he loved it. Now, if my 9-year-old can lose at a game and still like it, it's a winner. It's an automatic.
Yeah,
I agree.
You know,
yeah.
You know. So I think I've played, 5 times.
I was going to say, I think I have also played 5 times because first you asked me, and then once our son knew that I knew how to play now, I was like, Mom, will you play with me? How about now? To the point that his older sister was like, are you asking her again?
But
Mom,
you know
has
what?
Other things to do.
Well, you know what? I'd rather play that than play video games or just say go have screen time or whatever. And it's a fast game. There's only 3 things you can do. Yeah. I really like it a lot. And sorry, I know you're not going to play it, but I happen to be a big fan. You could play as Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
Ain't gonna work.
No, you know her better than I do, man. So
yeah, the only combat that she would really play is Champions of Midgard. I don't know why you fell in love with that one. And when she said she loved Champions of Midgard, I got every expansion known to man for that thing. I got it.
Well, I saw you did your most recent video was the clips that you had on Board Game Breakfast. And in that, you talked about Lords of Waterdeep and how much you love Lords of Waterdeep. And by the way, I totally agree with you on the expansion.
Yes. A+.
Yeah. Anitra is like, on Lords of Waterdeep. But I've had a lot of people say to me, if you like Lords of Waterdeep, you got to get Champions of Midgard with the Valhalla expansion.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's better in every way. Like, they're still both great games.
No, I don't know, man.
But it's better in every way. And so literally tonight I was trying to talk her into a copy of Midgard with the Valhalla expansion. She's like, but if Mick and Starla say it's good.
All right.
It's a lot of fun. I do like it a lot.
Do you like it better than Lords of Waterdeep?
See that? She's like, when my ships get taken out, what's up? Because when you get to that point where you're trying to go and kill the monster across the land, and that one card, and you're hoping and praying that it's going to say all quiet. And then you have your wife over there saying, I hope something happens.
I hope something happens.
And you're like, what?
A Kraken comes along.
And then you turn over and there's the Kraken. I'm like, Kraken, really? Yeah.
Damn. So which one's above? Which Champions of Midgard or Lords of Waterdeep? Which one's better?
Lords of Waterdeep.
Is better?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. I like Dungeons and Dragons. Now, Starla is not a Dungeons and Dragons fan, but I am. But I like it for that.
Well, here's a game with no combat. Have you played Role Player?
No, we have not played Role Player.
Oh, it's so good. How about a Sagrada? Have you played Sagrada?
Yes, we love Sagrada.
Okay. So Sagrada is a dice manipulation game. You're trying to make this thing. Role Player is also a dice manipulation game, but instead of making a beautiful stained glass window, you're building a D&D character.
I don't know if you like that, Stall. I don't know.
Let's see what it looks like.
I don't know. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Let's see what it looks like.
Uh-oh. It's not cute.
I will say right now, Andrew's going to try to show you his copy. I will say it's not quite as pretty as Sagrada, but it is very nice. Okay.
It's medieval, kind of Dungeons and Dragons.
It's a little bit
medieval-y. Some medieval games I like.
But the dice are super colorful, and instead of trying to create a pattern across your sheet, you're trying to fill in various rows and really pinpoint a number across each row. And then there's a few like, well, I'd like to have this one color in this one spot and this one color in this spot.
All right, Mick, you and I have to meet at a con and we'll play.
Yeah. And what's so cool about it, I know that the designer's coming out with adventures where you can take the people that you make. The characters you make, you can go on adventures with them. Now, Starla, I'm a loser there. I'm a loser Starla there.
You're not going to want
that. That's okay. That Kickstarter, Kickstarter's like next week. I think that Kickstarter literally opens up like next week.
Yeah.
But there's two or three expansions. There's Monsters and Minions, and then there's Fiends and Familiars.
Yeah.
Which I have Monsters and Minions, which adds combat. Sorry.
Yeah.
But the base game has no combat in it.
Yeah.
It's really just combat. Set collection and dice manipulation. Yep. So. Okay. There you go.
It may be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm willing to look at it.
Yeah, it'll go on our shelf for shame because we got so many up there.
I hear you on that one.
We got so many.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Anitra, you haven't actually gone yet.
Sure. Yes. Well, I played some Unmatched.
Okay.
But following on to last week's episode where we talked about summertime games, our kids asked to play Toasted or Roasted, which, again, I still don't understand why they like this game so much, but... It was fun. It's kind of in your typical kids game mold. Like, it's a set collection without a lot of strategy. You just play cards until you get what you want.
Yeah, it's fun.
But it's got a toasting marshmallows theme. So that's fun. And I also played a couple of games of The Kids of Carcassonne, which the more I play this, the more I really, really appreciate it.
Love Carcassonne. It
feels very much like Carcassonne, just stripped down and made simpler. And you're just trying to connect up and finish off paths that have your color on them and as few of other people's colors on them as possible.
Okay. That means no farmers in there, right? No farmers.
No farmers.
I was I was absolutely talking to my phone when I was watching this. The farmers are tired because they've been working, and that's why they're laying down.
That's why Starla asked.
Yes. Make them lay down. Why?
They're tired. It's medieval time.
I guess so.
All right. So what else have you guys been playing? So we know about Suburbia. What else has been going on?
Well, you know, it's been Everdale.
We did Everdale, and we did
Quacks of Quackenberg.
Yeah, is it Quedlinburg?
Quickenburg, Quackenberg, something German.
Yeah. So those are the newer ones that we've gotten to.
Yeah, and what else we play?
I don't know.
What else we play? Oh, Terra Mystica. We play Terra Mystica.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's on Board Game Arena, Terra Mystica.
I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah, we could play on there. You could stomp me on there.
Yeah, we have Guide Project. I just need to learn the rules because I'm the rule learner, and I got to learn the rules, so I got to learn that and get that to the table.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah.
He waters down the rules for me because I don't want to learn all the rules.
And then she beats me, and I can't understand that.
Questions, you know, what's the turn order? How do I win? You can tell me those things. I'm ready to play.
Well, there's a board game channel out there literally called I Teach Her, She Wins. So it's not just you. Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Yeah. All right. Well, you got anything else on your list?
That's not what happens here. You teach me and then you win.
No, 50-50, I'd say. We're pretty balanced on that stuff.
And then I teach you and I win.
Yeah, any of those games that involve trader mechanics, she always stabs me in the back.
Because it's so much fun. I like stabbing him in the back.
Whatever. I would never do that to you.
I know. That's what makes it great.
What else you got on your list?
Only one more, which is Rock, Paper, Switch, which this probably should have gone on our summertime games list, too. But
yeah, this is a great little game. This is very reminiscent of chess, but it's... Mm-hmm. Completely different.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like chess crossed with rock, paper, scissors, and you can play with either two, three, or four players, which makes it more interesting for sure. You've got five little paper tokens, five little rock tokens, and five little scissors tokens. And your goal is to not completely eliminate the other players, because it's more like chess in that regard. Your goal is to make it so they don't have at least one of each remaining. One rock, one paper, and one scissors.
Okay.
So if you can get rid of just all of their rocks, great. You're done. You win.
Okay.
So each of the three pieces moves in a slightly different way, and they capture, as you would expect, rock can only capture scissors. Scissors can only capture paper. Paper can only capture rock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then there's switch icons on the board. So if you land on one of those, you can switch the location of the piece that you landed pieces, with some other piece on the board, stuff like that. It's a pretty interesting little abstract. It's from Mindware. Peaceable Kingdoms is the other brand that's associated with that you might recognize. But yeah, that was a fun game that we saw at New York Toy Fair and decided that we wanted to get that one in.
Yeah, so. And importantly, playing with children, that they're all these little molded pieces, they're all a squishy plastic, so they can't stab each other with the scissors.
Our 5-year-old would run around and stab his brother and sister with the scissors.
He definitely would.
If he could.
Yeah. Actually, they end up making little stacks because they're squishy enough that they can like squish the rocks into each other. It's fine. As long as they're only doing it with the captured pieces, it's fine.
That's right.
So anything else on your recently played games list?
No, just a ton of unplayed games that we got to play.
We got to play.
I feel that a lot.
There's a ton.
Yeah. It's good stuff. All right. Well, why don't we take a quick break? When we come back, we're going to talk about our family plays games. We're going to talk about all the stuff that you do, why you started a channel, all this kind of stuff. We'll be right back. Every Tuesday night, I go downstairs, I get my equipment, I get in the car, and I drive to the bowling alley. You stay home and do something similar?
Sometimes, when we play Valley of the Vikings.
This is a snap review for Valley of the Vikings. Valley of the Vikings is a hobby game for 2-4 players ages 6 to 99. It was designed by Wilfried and Marie Fort, and it was the winner of the 2019 Kinderspiel des Jahres, which is the Children's Game of the Year.
So we're going to talk about how to play, because I don't know why Vikings go bowling.
I mean, bowling is fun. You're not going to get anything else out of me than that.
Sure. The goal of the game is to collect the most coins.
Okay.
And you do this by pushing other people off the dock?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Start by setting up the board, which is these seven big puzzle pieces, and place the four colored barrels in any of the marked starting locations. Shuffle the little flag pieces and place one in each spot above the dock.
Line up all of the Viking player markers next to the dock. Give each player a boat and a single coin. Even if there are less than four players, you're still going to use all four of the boats and all four of the player markers. The player who most closely resembles a Viking, that's me, goes first.
On your turn, you'll set up the big plastic bowling ball on the corner of the board that's closest to you. Then you use this cute little Viking boy with a bat piece to hit the ball and knock over at least one barrel.
Okay, now I don't want to be pedantic here, but that's more like cricket than bowling.
I agree.
Okay, but anyway, whatever. I'm just a bowling purist. For each barrel you knock over, you will move the corresponding Viking player marker one space along the dock. These barrels are the colors of the players. Vikings skip over any already occupied squares, and the batter, cricket, decides the order in which they move.
After you've moved the Vikings, reset the barrels in any spots you choose now, and pass the bat to the next player.
This is an important tactical move because you know who the next player is. Maybe you don't want them to knock over a certain barrel, so you make that one harder for them to hit.
Whenever a Viking marker moves past the end of the dock, that is, falls into the water.
It took a long walk off a short pier.
Pretty much. All the other movement immediately stops, the turn ends, and all of the other Vikings who didn't fall off collect treasure.
So that treasure is based on the flag that is over the current location. Some of them have coins, and some of them have pictures of the four Vikings.
If the flag above a player's marker shows coins, the player simply collects that many coins from the central hoard.
If a flag shows the player's own Viking, they get to steal a coin from each of the other players. If the flag shows a different Viking than the player, then the player gets to steal one coin from just that Viking.
The Viking player who fell in the water starts their marker over at the beginning of the dock again. When the last coins are taken from the hoard, the game ends after divvying up any other coin stealing among players. Then the Viking with the most coins is the winner.
All right. So what do we think of Valley of the Vikings?
It's super cute, mm-hmm. And it's fun.
It is.
I mean, Vikings are great. Bowling, or in this case, really more like cricket, is great.
It's fine. It's not bowling.
I understand. The components are really cute and very sturdy, as we usually expect from Hava. These 3D cardboard boats are really cool.
They're awesome. I love them.
And the plastic coins are wonderful. And honestly, even the board design with the holes in the corners, those holes are just enough to hold the ball in place as you tee up and get ready to hit it.
Yeah, I think it's probably not going to really be appreciated by most people who are playing the game, but Haba figured out the perfect board thickness where they didn't make it too thick to make it more expensive, but it's not so thin that the holes are useless.
Yes. So the recommended age range on this one is 6 to 99 or 6 and up, which is about right, honestly. Our youngest was 5 when we started playing this game, and while he could play it, he didn't really get the concept of moving the Vikings along the dock and trying to get his own Viking strategically placed for the coins he wanted.
Yeah, that probably is the most gamery part of this game, is figuring out the order in which you want to move those Vikings when you have to move them in order to maximize whatever certain Vikings are going to do, that kind of thing. So there actually is some relatively deep strategy in there, considering you're just moving 4 player markers on a straight line.
Well, something else that comes into the strategy is being able to reset those knocked over barrels in any way that you want.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that before.
So this really allows you to push the next player to either knock over a certain barrel or avoid a certain barrel.
Adults or children with poor impulse control might have a little bit of difficulty playing this game with kids because you do spend a lot of the game sitting and waiting for all the other players to go. There is no concurrent gameplay, and there's nothing for other players to do while gameplay is moving around the table.
And you're also out of control while you're doing it, because your Viking marker is getting moved around, and you have no influence over where it's going.
Yeah, it can be a little bit frustrating if you find other players are moving your Viking so it falls off the end of the dock, and you're like, but that was my guy, and now I'm stuck at the beginning again. And so it's not really like a take that kind of mechanic, because you're not really doing it to negatively impact other players. You're doing it to positively impact yourself, but it can definitely be frustrating for kids.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's also a little bit fiddly for the setup. I mean, the puzzle board is fine. But shuffling these little flags and trying to slot them in randomly is a little bit tough. However, you don't touch them again once the game is started. So it's not too bad since you only do it once. Overall, two out of our three kids really liked this game. The third kid, not so much, because you do feel really out of control for a lot of it.
Right.
But overall, I think it's random, kinesthetic, but also strategy fun.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of kid-level dexterity in it.
Which yeah, is nice. It definitely does. Mm-hmm. So we really like Valley of the Vikings. What do you think we should rate this?
I think we're going to go with 4 Viking boats out of 5.
And that's Valley of the Vikings in a snap. And we're back. So in case you missed the first half, but maybe
then rewind because it was hilarious.
We're here with Mick and Starla from Our Family Plays Games.
Fist bump.
Yay.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
There's always a fist bump.
don't steal our stuff now. Don't be stealing.
It was an audio fist bump. Everybody should fist bump.
All right.
They didn't have to pay you royalties.
Okay. All right.
Hey, we're cool, man. As long as you don't end every video with play games with your kids.
All right. Well, so we wanted to have you guys on because, I mean, your stuff's been a ton of fun. I think you released video number 24. Mm-hmm. I think that was the number for today. Yeah. So you've been posting pretty much weekly for like the last 6 months or so.
Yeah.
And we've really enjoyed it. And you guys got a huge bump over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, the situation kind of stinks.
Yes.
But fortunately, there were some good things that came out of everything that's been going on. And one of those is that lots of people were able to amplify the profile of board game publishers and creators and stuff, mm-hmm. of Black and Indigenous people of color. Rap Gods is doing unbelievable now, yeah. And I just think that's awesome to see. And obviously, you know, a lot of people were talking about Our Family Plays Games, which, like I said before, we've been following your stuff anyway. So I said, you know what? We got to reach out to these guys. We got to get them on the show. And I haven't laughed this hard for a while, so it's been pretty great for me. So we thought we'd have you guys on and just talk about what you do and, you know, your mission and
what it's like having a teenager.
Well, yeah, that too. We're figuring that out. Our oldest is 11.
Just keep praying and hoping everything will be okay. And that college is on the way. College is almost there. Yeah. College is almost there.
All right. So talk about your channel, Our Family Plays Games, and like what the mission of the channel is. And then we'll get into some other stuff.
Well, we started playing board games about 7 or so years ago, mm-hmm. the modern board games. So yeah. We've always played games as kids. We always had all the Monopoly and the Sorry and all that stuff, the mm-hmm. Connect Four. And we had those same games for our son. Mm-hmm. As he was growing up, we had the same games. And so we were like, he's playing the same games we played 30, 40 years
yeah.
ago. Playing the same game, so it's got to be something else out there.
Yes.
So Mick started looking for other things online to play, and I found
Forbidden Island.
Right.
Oh yeah.
Good game.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it's co-op, and that's when I found out Miss Little Beautiful over here don't like co-op. She hates
co-op. You mentioned that earlier.
She don't want to work. She don't want to work with nobody. She just wants to just hurt you. That's all she wants.
That is not true.
That is true.
All right, so back to
that is true. Then why you don't want to play? Dead of Winter.
Yeah, back on topic.
Dead of Winter. We try to help each other. And you said no. She said I don't want that.
So back on topic. He found that one, and then you just go on topic. You gotta stay focused.
No.
So anyway, we found that one. We didn't like that one. So then he found Sailors of Catan.
I found Sailors of Catan.
And he bought that. And one thing led to another. He started buying more games.
Mm-hmm.
And so about a couple of years ago, we started to do a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Because we have been going to cons and to game days mm-hmm. and going to meetups. And we just weren't seeing a lot of people of color there.
Yeah.
And for us, I mean, when you go into a room and you see people that look like you, you get that comfortable feeling. You feel happy. You feel okay. But for us, it wasn't like that. And sometimes we went to rooms where our gaming days where people would be nice to us, and sometimes they wouldn't. Now, mind you, we were in Texas.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes we had the feeling where we have to, you know, play by ourselves. And I said, well, Mick, I don't want to go back because people don't really want to talk to us. So
our Starla wouldn't go at all. And it was on me.
Yeah, I went to a couple by myself. It's like, yeah. I just don't want to go. But
yeah.
We did make some really good friends. So some of the gaming days we went to are the cons. Like we went to Comic Palooza. We always mentioned Kim Lucas, who's such a sweet friend. Got to know her. She's a great friend to this day. You know, so we have made some great friends who didn't look like us, but made us feel welcome in the hobby anyway.
Yeah.
So after we started our Facebook page you know, we did that for a while and we got to know more people. And so then this year I said, well, let's just start doing a YouTube channel, because we started looking at content creators out there. Not a lot of content creators out there, especially not a lot that focused on family and on people of color. So we decided to combine the two, because family is very important to us, because we've always played games with our family. Mm-hmm. We have our son here at home. And then we have our daughter, who's my stepdaughter, who's in college. When she comes to visit us, she plays with us, but she's not with us a lot. But we always like to play. So we decided to do the videos. We didn't really know it was going to take off like this.
No.
We just thought we'll put some out there. So people of color, if you're looking for other people who can give you their opinion from their perspective, here we are.
Right.
You know, it just happened that way.
And we just want to talk about the state of the game with people of color.
Yeah, how we feel about it.
How there's not enough designers that look like us. There's not enough boxes that look like us, you know, out there on top of the games.
Yeah.
There's not enough games that represent our stories.
Because, I mean, we like games just as much as everybody else.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that a lot of times, especially some of our friends who are of color, they're like, oh, I don't want to go today. I don't want to go with all those people. I said, well, we're going. We don't care. We're going to have fun. And we didn't let that stop us. And that's what we want to encourage people.
Yeah.
Don't let it stop you. If you go to a gaming con and you feel like, you know, you're the only ones there, that's okay. Go make some friends. Talk to the organizers. Find out who is teaching the game. Learn how to play the game. Enjoy this hobby, because I always tell people it really helps us interact with our son more, because he's a video game person.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can get him off those games. We can get him to the table. We can talk to him. We can see his mind working when he plays the games. And we love that. So this hobby is invaluable to us. We absolutely love it. So that's why we're telling other people.
Yeah, Grant, we love that.
He's over there.
Yeah, we love that, Grant. Yeah.
So that's why we started our channel. And right before, you know, everything started to go a little different, we had already gotten on the Dice Tower.
Yeah.
Tom had already invited us to the Dice Tower back in March. And so we started doing that, and we started to see a bump in our channel through the Dice Tower. And then Rodney Smith of Watch It Played said, hey, I want you to check out our Family Plays games.
That was crazy.
And when he did that, it was like, it just went crazy.
It was crazy. And then Chaz Marler, then he talked about us, and then it went further crazy.
Yeah, so it's been like, a lot of people that just, you know, mentioned us, and it's been great.
Yeah, it's been great. Yeah.
You've mentioned something that I think is really interesting, which was not just there aren't people that look like us on these boxes, but your stories aren't being told.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important, because the constant pushback that I see is like, oh, I don't care who the designer is. Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the story is really what, like, that's why I think Rap Gods is so cool, is because that's a story that is coming from a background that I don't have. I don't have that experience. I can't speak to that. I know nothing about it. I could not make that game. Like, well, I can't make games anyway, but but I couldn't do what Omar does, because I don't have Omar's life experience.
Yeah.
And when we talk, it's not just about what someone looks like. It's about everything that they bring to the table with their entire life experience. And I think that's so powerful. And that's so much what's missing from the hobby.
Yeah, and I mean, we're happy that he has that voice out there, but he's just one part of the African diaspora.
Totally.
You know, so I mean, he has one view. We have a different view on how we see things. But we want all of those views to have an opportunity to be shared.
Because,
right.
I mean, we have so many stories out there. It's so many, like, science fiction writers who are African-American that stories have not been told that could fit into an RPG or a board game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have artists out there that do comic books and things like that. They could really do a lot in the hobby. So it's just to seek out and find those folks. Yeah. Because they're ready to do it, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's some stories that I read, and I'm like, oh, my God, this would be great as a board game, you know, but we just need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're 100% in agreement with you on that. And, you know, like I said before, in this awful scenario, hopefully some of these good things are going to come out of that.
Yeah,
I hope so.
And it'll make it better for everyone, you know what I mean? So so we're really hopeful for that. And like I said, I don't think I laugh at anybody's videos as much as I laugh at his videos. I'm 100% truthful when I say that. I really, really enjoy them. It's really wonderful.
Well, you know, that's just us. Yeah. I mean, when we do Beyond Monopoly, that's what me and Starla do every day. We sit on that couch and we just start talking about stuff. The only thing we ask you to do when you come watch the video, take your shoes off, because you're in the house. Take your shoes off, because Starla don't like your shoes in the house now.
They got to go off at the door.
You know, take them off. Because, you know, we could come in, me and Greg could come in the door, and before we even hit, you know, just hit the first step inside the door, we hear, take your shoes off. And you're like, where is she?
How did she see me?
What is going on? Take your shoes off, sit down, and just join us at the couch, because we just don't talk. That's what we do. We just talk.
Yeah.
You know, that's us.
I once got yelled at for washing my hands in the sink because the sink had just been cleaned.
This was not me.
That's me. That's me.
To be fair, this was not me.
In my house.
You be doing that.
Yeah, you
don't
do it in the kitchen sink.
Oh, you
go to the bathroom
man.
Sink.
It's a sink. It's a sink.
But I just, oh my gosh. Mick, when you start talking and Starla gives you that look, that's when I start laughing. Jeez. That's when I start laughing. It's good stuff. It's incredible.
Well, I'm going to pivot here because you mentioned your Beyond Monopoly. I guess that's going to be a series of videos
now.
I really connected with those, at least on some level, because as a woman in board gaming, some of the same things apply. I don't see a lot of representation on the boxes, in the themes, in the designers.
Yeah.
And not every woman's life experience is the same either. I realize I come at this from a very strange and also privileged place that I am a giant nerd with a programming degree who's a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't always necessarily fit together. And, you know, my experience is not the same as people I graduated with or necessarily the same as other stay-at-home moms, but I like to be able to see things that I can connect with and resonate with. And, yeah, there have been times, not so much at cons, thankfully, but walking into a game store or something, and they're like, oh, are you here for your husband? No.
Yeah.
Or walking in with my boys and they're like, our Pokemon cards are over here. I'm like, well, my kids like Pokemon cards, but that's not why we're here. We're here for me.
Well, I come in the store and they looking at me like, oh, what are you doing? You know, our cash register only takes 20s. You know, that's what, you know, the look that you get when we walk, you know, I walk in, or the, when I walk in, they just ignore me totally. They just don't ask me nothing or, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, so I get one of those two. And then sometimes I get, hey, can I help you? So those are the stores that I stay with. Yeah, I go back to.
Yeah, agreed. The one that's actually our friendly local game store.
Yes.
They seem to treat everyone well.
Yes.
But in the past, I've definitely, the stores I'm thinking of are now closed. I'm not going to say that's why, but it certainly didn't help.
Hmm. Well, the one close to us, the game shop in Omaha, those folks have been so good to us, open arms. We love them. They love us.
Yeah.
It's to the point that Starla said, I need to put them on our income tax because, you know, they're kind of like our dependent now.
Yeah. You know? Unfortunately, it's too close to us. It's so close that Mick said, oh, I'll be there in 3 minutes.
That's so nice. They said, hey, Mick, how you doing? What you looking for now? And Starla would just get so upset.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Lord. Just don't say my name. Don't say my name.
And the game store was at least, the one you used to go to was about 20 minutes away.
No, it was Eden. Eden was that was an hour.
Yeah, no, 45
minutes.
Anyway, close enough. But that was a long drive, so he would have to really make a plan to do that. This one is literally 3 minutes from my home.
Yes.
And he's there too much.
It's evil. It's
evil. Everybody knows your name.
But I love them so much. I love, they have everything. I love them. And then one time I just mentioned something that I wanted. And then he called me like 3 weeks later. Mick, we have what you wanted that you talked about. We have it here. If you want it, we have it. If you don't worry about it. I said, I'll be there in 2 minutes.
Yep, the game shop.
Yep, the game shop. We love it, though. We love Becky and Norm. We love them.
So we talked a little bit about this before. We talked about Grant and how he does all of your video editing and stuff like that. And then you talked about how he played a lot of video games. So one of the things that we've actually been asked a lot is, what kinds of games should parents buy if their kids are into video games and they're trying to get them to play board games? Right? What, you know, that kind of thing. Like,
I mean, our answer is just, turn off the TV and make them play games with you anyway.
Yeah, but let them pick something.
Take their phone.
Yeah, we take the phone and we tell them that today we're not going to do computers all night or play on your Switch tonight. We're going to play a family game.
Yeah.
But we found things that he likes. He loves King of Tokyo. He's got the monsters and that kind of thing.
Because he can beat up on us. That's what he likes. He can beat up on us.
And he likes
to beat up on us. Yeah.
So boys, if you got boys, they're going to love King of Tokyo.
Yeah.
Champions of Midgard. He loves that one.
Survives. Because he can get us eaten up.
Yeah, he likes to get us kicked off the boat. The sharks can eat us.
Mm-hmm.
So those are typically boy games that they would just love.
Yeah.
Now when Sydney has a chance to play with us whenever
she likes
over,
a love letter.
Yeah, she likes the love letter games.
Yeah, she likes love letters.
But she also, she likes code names, too.
She like Coach. She likes more of the party games.
Yeah, sure.
Sounds like a lot of those more kind of cerebral, like social deduction kind of games.
She's a little older.
King of Tokyo.
Champions
of Midgard. Beat up on stuff.
He actually likes Quacks, too.
He likes Quacks.
We introduced him to Quacks. He likes
Everybody likes Quacks.
Almost
everybody.
Yes. Most people like Quacks. That game is fantastic.
It is fantastic.
Awesome.
So I was watching one of your videos, and you talked about going to a con, and your son got to play in a Smash Brothers tournament while you guys played board games. And I am all for, like, okay, at a con, maybe we don't need to stay together the whole time.
Yeah.
We can separate out and do our separate things. Do you think that teenagers especially want more variety, or maybe it's being more comfortable mediated through a screen rather than like face-to-face interaction over a board game? Or is it just that it's easier and familiar?
I don't know, but that particular one we went to in Galveston, we had been playing games. We were there for the weekend. We had been playing, and we had Grant playing with us, and he was just so excited to find out that they actually had a room for the kids to play video games.
Yeah.
He's a big Smash Bros. Gamer.
Nintendo.
He's really good at it.
Nintendo.
So we did take some of our time and gave it to him. And so Mick was playing games elsewhere. I went with him. I didn't let him go by himself. So at the time, I think Grant was probably about 12.
Yeah, he's 12.
It was about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I didn't let him go by himself. But I went in there and I sat with him and let him play with them. They must have had, probably 50, 60 teens that had come with their parents. I think they'd finally gotten tired of playing board games.
Yeah.
They had a big room set up with computer screens and stuff for the kids. So I think that's a nice thing to offer at a board game con for the teens. Yeah, they get a chance. They need to play, but give them a day where they can have some of the stuff they like too.
And, you know, we had, you know, Comic-Palooza, there was a big convention in Houston that had a big board gaming room. And then also they had a big video gaming room.
Yeah.
So Grant would go, we would take Grant over there so he could play in the video gaming room. And also he would come back with us and play in the board game. And so we kind of traded off and said, hey,
I mean, in this age, this time, I mean, this is what they're familiar with.
Yeah.
And everything is electronic, everything is screen time, but the board gaming, we can get them off that for a while. And so the trade-off is, you're going to spend a few hours with us off the screen, and then we'll let you have some time doing the things you
know, because Stala always loves to see Grant play board games.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I love it.
So explain why you like
I mentioned earlier, you know, I love to see how his mind works, because when he's playing video games, I just see him, you know, pushing buttons and looking. But when he's at the table, he has to talk to us, or I can see when he's going to pick up something or turn something around. I love the way he functions at the table, because I get a chance to see his intellect. I mean, it makes me very proud as a mom, especially when he beats me. I'm happy when Grant beats me, because I was like, man, he's really smart. He learned a lot from me.
Not Mick.
See why I let her talk all the time? See, I'm just a hype man. I let her talk.
Yeah, I love it. I love that. Board games is a great thing for kids to do. I really think so.
So you said something in there that I think is, I want to draw it out because I think is really, really important. It's something that we try very hard to make sure that we do with our kids, which is having an agreement that everybody honors beforehand to recognize that kids have preferences and that give and take is something that's valid. Listen, you need to do this and then I will let you do that.
Yes.
And then remembering to let them do whatever that thing is.
Yes.
And that creates that trust that allows you to, I mean, you know, I am relatively authoritarian. I think my kids should do what I tell them to do, you know, as long as I'm not an ogre. But I do think that that give and take is so incredibly important. And, you know, when you talk about it with the success of being able to do that, you were able to bring him to a convention where he could play Smash with 60 people and have a ton of fun doing it.
Yeah.
But he understood, because I'm sure you guys are firm about this stuff, that there was a give and take there. If he wanted to do that stuff, he had to do stuff with you, too. And it wasn't, I don't know if he was stomping his feet and crying and whining when you told him that you had to go play board games. I don't want to put words in his mouth or anything, but it sounds to me like he probably understood and respected the fact that he got to do his thing, and now it's time to do what mom and dad want to do.
Yeah, he does. And we respect that all the time. So a lot of times if you'll see our pictures, it's just Mick and I playing. We let him have his time, but then we'll say, hey, Grant, come on, I want you to learn a new game. He'll come learn a new game. He'll play it with us. So we don't force him to play board games. We ask him to play with us. He knows that sometimes he needs to get off the screen. So when it's time for him to get off, he's happy to play a board game. Because it's like, well, if you're not going to play a board game, you're not going to be on the screen anyway. So yeah. you might as well play with us. Because screen time's over, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how we make it work.
And, you know, and he'll play the game and we'll say, well, how do you like it? He'll say, well, I don't really like this one too much.
Yeah.
So we know that's one he's not going to play. Or he'll say, oh, yeah, I like this one. Because, like, with Quacks, he said, I like this game.
Yeah.
You know, so we said, okay, we're cool with this one. Everdale, he said, nah, I'm not good with Everdale.
Like Everdale. Yeah, we had him play that one, so we let him try
little,
things out.
We little cute critters and stuff, that's not all about me. So, you know, you don't want the critters. So,
well, I could, yeah, I mean, we could see the variety behind you, and you could see it in the videos and stuff. So if you've got that variety, that all you really need is like five games out of all that he likes to play, and then you can just cut the stuff.
That's it.
Yeah, that's
everything
a question.
Else is what I play. Everything else is what I play. So,
yeah, that's another question we get a lot: is how do you get your non-gaming family into playing games? And the first thing we always say is you can't force it. You just can't. You can't. No. And I think what you mentioned is one of the really good ways to do it, which is to try a game. If that game doesn't work, try another game. If that game doesn't work, try another game.
Yeah,
and eventually,
not all in a row.
Well, you know,
you're gonna find those games.
You know, like in the African American community, games are really looked at sometimes as for kids or
board games. Because
but,
we play games.
We play games.
We play cards.
We play cards.
Dominoes.
Yes, we do.
We play poker.
Yes, we do.
We play a lot of games. We play chess.
Yes, we play chess.
But when you say board games, first thing they think of is Monopoly.
Monopoly and Candyland.
We have to try to let them know that there are things beyond Monopoly, and that's why we came with the title. Beyond Monopoly.
Because a lot of people that, you know, African Americans that are friends of ours or family. And they say, well, how many games do y'all have? We said, oh, we have about like 200. Well, back then it was about like 200. Now we have like 251. And they're like,
approximately.
What? Huh?
What? Is there another one?
Huh?
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Uh-oh.
Mixing trouble.
You said 250. It was 251. You said to get Grand Austrian Hotel. You said that.
Okay.
You said get Grand Austrian Hotel.
Wait.
You said get Grand Austrian Hotel.
Go ahead and finish the story.
What you saying? That was approval.
Okay.
That was approval.
So you went back to the game chat.
That was approval. You said you wanted that.
I love these shows where I get a chance to hear my husband talk freely.
Well, it's 251 that I was approved to get that one.
Okay.
I was approved.
Okay.
So they say, "What? How do you have so many monopolies or so many sorries?" And they're like, "No, it's not all Monopoly or sorries. It's a whole different other games. You gotta open your mind up and see all these other beautiful games that we play. And we have to introduce them slowly, like the Code Names and Splendor.
Yeah.
They like Splendor. Ticket to Ride is always good. So it's
That's always been a hit, no matter when we pull it out. People like it's trains.
Yeah.
It's really easy to teach, so people always
like Splendor is really, they like Splendor.
Too.
Because you have the cards and stuff
and
like
poker
that.
Chips,
Speaking of Ticket to Ride, by the way, I watched your Ticket to Ride video, and I have to say I had pretty much exactly the same reaction that you did about bullet trains. Because I built all the bullet trains, and everyone was using my bullet trains.
Yeah.
They were my bullet trains. I built them.
Yeah.
Should have let some other people build the bullet train.
I built the bullet train. They're my bullet trains.
They're mine.
No. I want to use those bullet trains. I need the bullet train.
Well, consequently, it came in like last place because I built the bullet trains for everybody. I got that bullet train bonus, but it didn't matter.
It did not help you.
Just as long as you don't get that negative 10, that's all I'm worried
about. Oh, man. That was you, right?
That was me. I got the negative 10.
You fight hard for that.
I started working on building the bullet trains and then I gave up. I'm like, I can't even catch up with third place.
As long as you build one, as long as you build
like,
one, you're not at minus 20. Right.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
So.
But we love Ticket to Ride.
The franchise
is beautiful. Yes. We love it.
So we've played every single game that was on your list.
Okay.
Your top five.
We haven't played UK.
Okay.
Have you played UK?
We have. And I'm not all that of a fan of it because you got to get when you go to different places, like if you go to Ireland, you got to get different, you know, before you really upgrade, you have to get different cards to upgrade your train and get permission to go over there. And it's just too much. And it's just that element of trying to collect cards and upgrade your tracks and upgrade to go other places. It's just not that much fun to us. So it's all right. cool, but no, we're not really fans of it.
Yeah, if you want to play a more gamery game, you'll play something that's not Ticket to Ride.
The gamer game is
Pennsylvania.
Rail and Sales.
Oh, and Rail and Sales.
Sure, sure, sure.
Rails and Sales. Yeah. That's the more advanced one, I think. Yeah, I think that's more advanced.
Yeah, we have a friend who has basically all of them.
Yeah.
And we play them all at his place. So, yeah, like Pennsylvania, we played at his place. Rails and Sales, we played at his place. Japan, we played at his place.
So
that's good stuff. No, I like Ticket to Ride a lot. I'm actually partial these days, especially with the kids, of New York.
Short, quick.
New York is great.
Did you play the Ticket to Ride print and play that they came out with about a month ago?
No.
Oh, you should definitely
try that. It's very cool.
It adds some cool new mechanics that I have not seen in any other Ticket to Ride game.
Okay.
It really is its own map.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's because that's the one where you go to the living room and you go to the bedroom.
Ticket to Ride, stay at home.
Yeah.
So what they introduce in that one is something called a family route. And so if you imagine a route that's like five trains long, but in stay at home, each individual car is a different color. So you would play like one red and put one of your trains on the red spot, but every single one of those has to be filled in for that route to work. Anybody who contributes to that route can use it. So it's kind of like bullet trains, but everybody's got to work on it. You could do it yourself and lock it up, but you have to spend five turns or however many trains there are to do it.
Yeah.
So it's really beneficial for people to work together so they can share the route.
See there, you messed up right there.
But it's not co-op.
No, it's not co-op. But like you can choose how much work together you want because definitely when we played it, my son locked up one of those routes because he's like, nope, I'm going to build it. Nobody else is going to build it. Nobody else is going to have access to it.
Yeah.
This is mine.
Yeah, well, they're also important routes. So it's like basically the hallways. So if someone locks it up.
Yeah.
Then it's actually problematic for other people.
Yeah, the only one that you can't possibly lock up is the route to the bathroom.
don't lock up the bathroom. No.
So that's definitely one you guys should check out.
We'll definitely check that out.
Like 10 sheets of paper to print the whole thing out.
Okay.
12 sheets, something like that. So
yeah, about that.
It's fun. It's a lot of fun. So that's everything that we have for questions for you guys. I mean, thanks so much for coming on the show. We had an absolute blast. It's been a while since I've laughed this hard.
We had a blast.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Anything else that you guys want to throw out there while we're still doing the show?
Well, you know, you can catch us on Twitter at
Twitter is @our_plays.
And Instagram.
Our Family Plays Games.
Facebook,
Our Family Plays Games.
And our YouTube channel.
Yeah,
you can catch us there.
And you can get a sweet Our Family Plays Games t-shirt.
Yes, you can.
Hoodies, long sleeve, and t-shirts.
Yes.
I like it. Yeah, nice. they're good looking. They look nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
Who did the graphic design? Was that Grant?
Stala.
Oh, all right. There you go.
Stala's the graphic designer.
Oh, really? There you go. Yeah. All right. I like it.
You give me some hope that our kids will still be playing games with us when they're teenagers.
Yes, I hope.
Yes, they will.
Yes. If they at home, you make them play with you.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the plan, but our 12-year-old she seesaws back and forth between interested in games when mom and dad aren't around, and then when mom and dad are like, let's play a game, then she's like, no.
Well, she's also a 12-year-old girl.
That's a big part of it, too.
Yeah. But she actually really likes Abandon All Artichokes from Game Right.
We've had a lot of fun with that one.
It's good.
You want really that. Good. But you know, the thing is that when Grant goes off to college in 2 years, he's going to have to still play because whenever you come home, my lad, whenever you come home, you play games.
Which is what happens when Sydney comes to visit.
Yeah, you play games.
And she likes it.
Yeah,
so.
you got to play games. Yeah.
You're not allowed into your room to go to bed until you play games.
Exactly. You play a game.
Oh, no.
I like it a lot. All right, honey. Well, where can people find us online?
As always, you can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Family Gamers AA. Or you can join our Facebook community, Facebook group. The easiest way to get there is go to thefamilygamers.com/community.
Mick, I think you're in there. I think I've seen you in the Facebook community. Yeah. So that's awesome. So you can find all of us there. Hey, why not? For the most direct method, you can always email us. You can email me, Andrew, @thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com. Please do not forget to subscribe to the podcast if you have not already and tell your friends about it. And then they can find out not only about us, but also about Our Family Plays Games with Mick and Charles.
Yay. Twofer.
And you can tell strangers about us by leaving us a review at Apple Podcasts.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm not going to forget.
I almost got away with it.
Nope, it's in the show notes now.
Ugh.
You can send weird foods to us for science.
And I will eat them and talk about it.
Eat them. Probably on video, definitely on audio recording.
Yeah.
And tell you about them and how horrible or wonderful they are.
Probably horrible.
We're not doing that.
Send them horrible things.
We're not doing that. Nope.
All right. Okay, you can send those things to The Family Gamers, P.O. Box 528, Auburn, Massachusetts, 01501.
The Family Gamers is sponsored by First Move Financial. Go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to learn how the team at First Move Financial can help you pile up the victory points.
Thank you to First Move Financial for sponsoring this episode of the show. All right, well, I think that's going to be it for us this week.
I mean, I think so, yeah.
All right. Well, until next week, everybody, episode 200.
Ooh.
Play games with your kids.